Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's a very good evening and welcome along to another action-packed score programme for tonight. Coming up on the show, we'll be looking ahead to the games in the FAI Senior Cup for Bunnaby United and Derry City. A homecoming was held in Stranorder last night for European bronze medalist Mark English. We'll hear from Mark and Patsy McGonigal. Brendan McDade will look ahead to this weekend's Donegal Half Marathon, and the new rugby season starts for the North West clubs this coming Saturday. We'll be speaking with Letterkenny head coach Paul O'Kane. It's all between now and 8 o'clock this evening. And it's with football we begin. Another historic night awaits for Ulster Senior League side Bunnaby United, who play in the second round of the FAI Senior Cup for the first time on Friday. They navigated their way through with a comfortable victory against Pike Rovers in the opening round. But the opposition for the Letterkenny side in the second round is Premier Division outfit Shelburne, who are under manager Damien Duff. Bunnaby United manager is Jason Gibson. He's been speaking to Jeremy Doherty and says they'll be going all out to cause Shell's problems.
Jason Gibson, first of all, Friday night in terms of team news and your squad availability, everybody okay?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's come too soon for Gareth Breslin. He obviously missed the Pike Rovers game and hasn't shaken off the ankle injury. And Derry Ellison, thankfully, he's come back in at the weekend and done a bit there, so he's available for selection. So now other than Gareth, we're all fit.
Yeah, and I mean, we chatted already in the press conference in there. Since the match against Pike Rovers, Jason, obviously Bunnaby out of season, all preparations haven't really been easy, but you've prepared well.
Yeah, we've done the best we can do. Like as I was saying earlier there, like, you know, it's holiday time. We're amateur footballers and clubmen or whatever, like, and you know, this is holiday time, stuff like that. We've a couple of lads who in the summer play Gaelic with their local clubs and stuff like that, so we've had a good time with that as well, and which I have no issue with. Look, that's the nature of it. We're not full-time like our opposition, so but we had a good weekend there. Like, we had a wee friendly on Sunday morning, meeting afterwards, and we had a good session last night again. We're on tomorrow night again, so, and we're probably fortunate in the sense that our season last year with the cup final runs, we run into, like, I think it was nearly the end of May, start of June, actually, nearly, so fitness levels were good. We had them back in early July again. You know, I don't think footballers at this level get out of shape anymore. Yeah. Like, they're so even in the Pike game, like, as I say, when we look at the stats on them, the kilometers were still high, like, so no, look, it's no worries. But, and as I say, we're allowed five subs as well, right. You know, which is, you know, going to be probably useful on the night, like, as well. So yeah. No, look, as I say, it's all been good.
And I get the sense from you, Jason, you guys aren't just going out to fulfil this fixture. I mean, this one is one that you think that just can cause Shelburne a few problems.
Well, look, that's, you have to believe, Jeremy. Like, if we didn't, we wouldn't go out at all. Like, as I say, you know, there's been shocks and cups all over wherever before. Like, so we have to believe. Look, we know the task. Like, we know their cracking side. We know their strengths. Some weaknesses, I suppose you want to call it that. And no, we have to go out, you know, with the right attitude, and as I say, we'll have our game plan and, you know, stick to it and see where it takes us.
Yeah, because this squad that you've assembled, Jason, has this right blend of experience, plenty of quality in there, some of the younger players coming through. It's a nice wee blend.
Yeah, I feel we've got a good mix there. Like, I suppose the unfortunate thing maybe was to lose, well, we've lost Gareth the match, we've lost Packy as well, if you know what I mean. Probably that experience on the back. But look, as I say, through the team, they're all capable footballers, like, as I say. And, you know, as a footballer, you always want to test yourself. I mean, as I say, we've played ourselves, and you want to go out and test yourself against the best. And I think our boys will, as I say, feed off a good crowd on Friday night, and you know, put on a performance.
And for you as a manager, you've got to try and outwit a certain Damien Duff on the sideline.
Yeah, that's, I was saying to Ryan, it's not really something I give a wild lot of thought to be quite honest with you. We look at the opposition and we prepare the best we can. Like, I suppose, look, it's grand. I mean, it's great probably for the spectacle of the whole thing that Damien Duff's coming, but as I said, look, it's no difference to me who's in the opposition. I just have to concentrate on my job and try and get our boys prepared as best I can.
And I'm sure, it's a good thing you probably know a lot more about his team than he will about yours.
Yeah, look, I mean, he maybe would get bits of us probably from the intermediate games and stuff like that. But no, we have access to way more stuff on them than they'll get on us, if you know what I mean. And from that point of view, look, nothing should come as a surprise for us, but you have to switch on these games, and you know, because there's quality all over the pitch, like, and as I say, you know, whereas you mightn't get punished for everything at our level, you'll get punished here on Friday night if you slip, like.
Yeah, well, listen, there's a real buzz about the club, isn't there, Jason? I mean, I mentioned it to Niall Callan about the cup fever taking a grip. I know that's a cliche, but you get a real sense that there's, you know, huge excitement about the place.
Look, it's brilliant, like, and as I say, we spoke after the last game, and you know yourself, it's not paying lip service to, like, a really, really, really happy for the club personnel and the committee that's here to be hosting this, and as Niall said, they had a bit of work to do to host it or whatever. I didn't ever feel it was in doubt, but you know, it's just brilliant for them, like, to be, you know, getting whatever 700-800 people up to 1,000 through the gate on Friday night, and you know, cameras here and stuff like that, showing off what, you know, what they've worked God knows how many years to put here, like. So no, look, it's I'm delighted for them as well, like.
As Bunnagee manager Jason Gibson, there will of course be coverage from that game tomorrow night here in Highland. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. It's in association with the Dry Arch Complex, and the Highland team watching that game will be Dermot Doherty and former Fin Harps player and manager Anthony Gorman. Let's hear more now from the Bunnagee camp. Dermot has also been speaking to Chairman Niall Callaghan, who says it's a fantastic occasion for the club.
This is fantastic for the club, Dermot. Since the draw was made, like, there's been a real buzz around the club. Even that has filtered down through the underage and down into the kids. The parents are talking about it. Past members are coming and offering help, offering support. It's brilliant. And like, as I said earlier, there's a lot of hard work to organise a game like this. We haven't experienced it before. We may never experience it again for a long time. So, all credit to the committee out here. Everyone has put their shoulder to the wheel, and we hopefully we have everything right for Friday night, because it'll be well worth it, and it'll showcase the club and show people what it's all about and what we're all about.
And we've all been so impressed with the fantastic facilities that are out here, Niall, this last few years, the development that's gone on, the progress that's been made off the pitch. So on a night like, you know, this coming Friday night, the Dry Arch Park can showcase the club on the national stage, a floodlit pitch, fantastic facilities. Yeah. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's what it's all about. And I think it's great, and as mentioned earlier, the likes of Eric Fonson and Lawrence Gillet, who's been here for years, they're bound to be cock-a-hoop for what's going on around the club at the minute. Like, they probably thought they'd never see a night like this. And even us, like, I know I'm with the club 20 years, but I'm probably one of the newest members in the club. We've got a great committee, and we're all sort of there long-term. But no, I think, listen, people will set up and notice Bunnagee United after this. I think it's great for the club, and irrespective of one lose or draw, it'll be a fantastic occasion. Damien Duff was bringing Shelburne down. Damien Duff will be an attraction in itself. No, listen, we're really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. And there's a couple of, as you say, there's a couple of busy nights ahead of us now to get sorted for Friday.
Yeah, and like, I mean, at Kingala, there's a real feel-good factor about it all, isn't there, Niall? The buy-in from the town of Letterkenny and beyond, the support that you have got. I mean, it's brilliant all round.
Yeah, listen, I was getting phone calls from people, you know, not involved in the club, people that were involved in the club, offering support. What can we do? Do you want stewards? Do you want people to sell tickets? Do you want, do you know, do you need anything done? And I think it's a real feel good factor. And the community always gets behind us, no matter what we're doing. And I think the community's got behind us in this one as well.
Mm. Well, Friday night is going to be all about Jason Gibson's team and the match against Shelburne. But away from that, Niall, there's so much else happening at Bonagie United. All good stuff. The underage structure is progressing all the time. There's success with the Donegal League side, the ladies team, and the youth team as well. So, I mean, it's a good time for Bonagie United.
That is a great time. And as you say, you know, we have underage, we have 330 kids registered there, and that takes a lot of hard work to keep them coached and yeah. training facilities and matches, and we have probably 50 underage coaches among all our teams, and that's not counting our ladies manager, our two senior team managers and their backroom staff. So we have a lot of people coming through the gate every week, and they have to be looked after. And like we do that very well, I think. So this is for them as well. Like this is for the club, and it's good. And hopefully a lot of young lads and young girls looking out on Friday night, and they'll be thinking, someday I want to play at that level for Bonagie United, and maybe even Shelburne Football Club as
and,
well. So.
And as well as that, you're providing these facilities for all those young boys and girls, aren't you? I mean, and then their mammies and daddies are coming out here. So Bonagie United has always been a welcoming club, and that's even more so now.
Yeah, listen, we're probably the focal point in the community, and not so much just around this area, but even from further like out in the town area or even out in the manor direction. Like we have a lot of people coming in the gate, and a lot of them are willing to give us a hand, or willing to help. Parents are willing to help, and you know, a lot of the time we just have to ask, and they're there and they do it for us, and you know, they see the rewards that their kids are getting, and like, no, it's definitely a good club now, and I'm very, very fortunate to be chairman of the club because we have such a good committee.
Yeah. So FAI Cup fever really taking a grip at the club, and I mean it's a really big game on Friday night, a massive occasion for everyone involved, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy it, Niall.
Oh well, hopefully, listen, we'll get everything organised before Friday evening. Now there'll still be a few bits and pieces to do, but and we mightn't see much of the match, but no, listen, we're delighted for Jason and the lads. They deserve to get here. They've had a fantastic 18 months. And they work hard, and as I said earlier, there, Jason has put together a good squad, and it's a mixture of experience and youth, and he always says to me, if anybody's good enough, they'll get a chance with him, and that definitely does happen.
That's Niall Callaghan, chairman of Bonagie United, and we wish them all the best in their cup journey tomorrow evening against Shells at the Dry Arch Park. The other North West side involved in cup action tomorrow is Derry City, and they're taking on Cork City for a place in the quarterfinals. Cork, of course, come to the Brandywell flying high in the first division. Derry boss Rory Higgins is not underestimating the visitors tomorrow night.
They're a massive football club, one of the biggest in the country. And if we're all honest, they should be in the Premier Division. That's where they belong. The players, the stadium, the backroom team, the lot of them, they should be. It's a Premier Division club playing in the First Division, and I think they've got one hand on that trophy, and they'll come up here, probably a wee bit of pressure off away from their league, and come up here and play with a free spirit and try and knock us out. But again, we have to be ready for that. I think we're playing quite well. It's just a matter of maybe converting a few of our chances into goals, and hopefully we can do that tomorrow night.
If you won, you know yourself you're in the quarterfinals, and you know yourself, and you start hearing the word final at any time of that sentence after you start thinking about it.
Aye, again, we'll talk about quarterfinals if we get through this. We know we have a really tough task in hand, and if we show any snobbery towards Cork whatsoever, they'll beat us. I can assure you that. They're a really well-oiled machine and used to winning, and out of their 13 away games in the league, they've won 11 and drew 2, so they know how to get results on the road. So we have to be prepared for that.
Colin Healy's done a fantastic job. He knows himself it's a massive club being there from Cork, but he's got them going. They're, as you say, coming here full of confidence.
Aye, and they work extremely hard for each other. They've got a good blend in their team, a lot of physicality, but a lot of players who can hurt you as well and play. And as I said, they're Premier Division players playing in the First Division, and I'm sure we'll all see them in the Premier Division next year. There's no doubt about that. And we look forward to welcoming them here, but we want to go and get ourselves into the next round and put on a good display.
Yourself, you may not have got the results over the last three games, but you've done really well. You've played really well. It's just now turned them chances and the victories.
Aye, we're happy with how we're playing up to that last wee bit, and if we can add that, then we know that we can hurt anybody and one more than we don't. So, aye, we just need to get back on the horse and try and excite our supporters and play on the front foot and get our attacking players involved in the game as early as possible. And let's see, can we produce a big performance to get in the next round?
And just finally, what's the squad like? What's any injuries? What are you like?
No, we're all right. We seem to have we have a good group and we're ready to go.
Rory Higgins there speaking to Kevin McLaughlin ahead of the Cork City Cup tie at the Brandywell tomorrow night. That one starts 15 minutes earlier than the Bunnygee game. That one gets underway at 7:45. Locally, football-wise, the new seasons across the northwest are up and running at junior level. Action is continuing this evening in the Brian McCormick Cup in the Gadoor area. Cranford are playing Kilmacrenan Celtic, while in the Lifford area, Convey Arsenal will take on Dromahol. The competition continues on Sunday. The two games in Group A of the Letterkenny area are Kerrykeel 71 against White Strand, and Rathmullen Celtic play Fannagh United. In Group B in the Letterkenny area, it's Bunnygee United versus Milford United, and Letterkenny Rovers take on Swilly Rovers. In the Donegal Group A, Donegal Town meet Larrabarrow Celtic, Capri Rovers make the trip to Dunluce Celtic, while in Donegal Group B, Cor Athletic host Drumkeen United, and Ballybofey United are off to Killybegs to play St Catharines. One match in the Gwydor area in Group A, it's Glenae United against Gwydor United, and in Group B in Gwydor, Cager Rovers play host to Kilmacrenan and Celtic, with the two matches in the groups in Lifford, Raphoe Town against Lagan Harps, and Kildrum Tigers against Lifford Celtic. There's also a full programme of matches to take place in the Voodoo Cup across three areas, with a total of 10 games being played across the three areas this coming Saturday afternoon, all kicking off at 1:00. There's also a full programme of football in the Inishowen League. Among the games on Sunday in the Clubman Church League Cup, it's Illa Celtic against Mobile Celtic, Alia play Buncrana Hearts, and Kildaff are up against Clonmany Shamrocks. When in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup, Quiggs Point Swifts play Cairn, Alia take on Glenelly Colts, that's Alia Reserves, and Clonmany Reserves play Greencastle Youths. There's also several games to take place in Division 2 in Inishowen as well on Sunday. Turning our attention now to athletics. Finn Valley AC hosted a homecoming reception for Mark English yesterday evening. The Letterkenny native won a fourth career championship medal last weekend when he took 800 bronze in Munich at the Europeans. Well, Tom Comack went along to Stranorder for Highland Radio Sport yesterday evening, where he spoke to Patsy McGonigal. But first, the man of the moment, Mark English.
Mark, congratulations. How does it feel?
Feels really good. It's great to come back to Finn Valley today and get the reception that I got. It's been amazing.
Yeah. How did it compare 2014 and 2022? You know, you won the bronze in both.
Yeah, it's the initial relief after both championships was the initial emotion after both championships was relief, and the joy took over then, and it's been a hell of a ride so far.
Yeah, and obviously 8 years in between, obviously, you know, what kept you going?
Just wanted to get the best out of myself. I was able to look at some old races where I performed quite well. One of them was the 500 metre race against Dave Rodish in 2016 after the Olympics, and that gave me great hope for what I knew I could do. So I just kept plugging away and trying to be as consistent as I could with the training, and I got the reward first.
Yeah, and obviously combining that with studying for to be a doctor and studying medicine obviously was pretty tough, I imagine, and pretty time-consuming and pretty demanding.
Yeah, it was time-consuming and demanding, and I was just saying that being able to go up and down the country was made a lot easier by the MCR group who supplied me with the diesel card and allowed me to do that, and that helped a lot. But yes, it was difficult to combine the two of them, and thanks very much to
Did you ever consider maybe taking a time out from your studies and concentrating on the athletics?
I did consider it, yeah. So I'll need to make some decisions around that over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but even during that, but in the interim between 2014 and 2022?
Well, the thing was, in 2021, I actually ran a national record. It was the best I'd ever ran in my life, and I was working full-time. So that's just something I will need to consider as well, even going forward, you know, that I've seen to run my best and I have something else to do, especially in the winter months.
Yeah.
When you can get quite lonely as an athlete.
Because athletics is very much on your own, aren't you, for a lot of the time?
Yeah, you're on your own for a lot of it, going away to camps, and it can be a lonely lifestyle if that's all that you have going on.
Yeah, and that's all really you can with your studying and athletics. You can't have time for much more.
Yes, it's difficult to fit much more in, all right.
Yeah. What does it take to do all that and to give that level of commitment? What's it within you that drives you to do that?
Well, that's it. Trying to explore my talents as much as I can, because I know I have a talent in athletics and I'm trying to get the most out of it. That keeps me going in athletics.
Yeah. And obviously, what's next?
So I have a race in Ravaretta Whitley next Tuesday, and then I'll take a short recovery and then get back training for the World Championships in 2023.
Yeah. Talk to me about the final this year. What was going through your head? Obviously, we were listening to Patsy McGonigal on the radio and in the papers. Very confident that you were doing well. He had been in contact with you constantly while you were in Munich. You know, he felt you were going well. But in your own mind, what was going through your head, say, when you went into the final?
Yeah, I had a plan for the final in terms of tactics. And I suppose coming up to a championship, that's maybe the most important part of the preparation, is getting those tactics right. So the plan was to follow Garcia around whenever he took the lead, and that actually turned out...
He was the heir.
Yeah, so maybe the first time in my career I've actually got my tactics bang on, and the race turned out the way I expected it to.
Yeah.
So it's a nice feeling.
Yeah, because, you know, you have run faster than you've run... you know, in the final. So it's not about speed altogether, is it? It's about, you know, plans and how your tactics, as much as anything else.
Yeah, the 800 metres, it's a complex event, and some people don't like it for that, but I love it for that reason. And so you need your speed, you need your endurance, you need your tactical planning. And there's lots of components within those as well. So it's an interesting game, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Talk to me about support. Obviously, a lot of support from the family, a lot of support from the clubs, a lot of support from a lot of people.
Yeah, and when I arrived back in the Gleabetter Kenny last night, there was great support there for me. The Residents Association came out and they were there with the megaphone, and it was brilliant to even hear people speak and to hear what it meant to everyone there. And then to come here tonight and to hear, you know, Chris, Patsy, and everyone speak about what it meant to them as well. So it's... brilliant.
Do you be aware of that when you're away, when you're running, or is that something you leave aside? Or,
well, I think I'm more focused on the race that's upcoming, and I just focus on that at the time.
Yeah, so obviously qualified as a doctor as well, as we said, studied for medicine, qualified a doctor, full-time doctor for the last 2 years. Obviously, I think you were in Galway, were you, and going to Dublin for training?
Yeah, so I finished up in Galway at the start of June, and as you said there, it was difficult getting up and down to Dublin to train with my coach Phelan Kelly. So a lot of the work was done on my own, especially throughout the middle of the week, and it was a little bit more difficult than I would have liked.
Yeah. Phelan Kelly came back to you. You had worked with him before.
Yeah, so Phelan Kelly was my training partner in 2014 when I went to the Europeans. He went out to Salzburg with me for a pre-camp, and this time around he was my coach, so it's a nice story.
So
from that point,
you're going to stick with him? So
I will.
So Paris,
yeah,
is that on the...
I think the aim for the future for me is to just get into the best shape that I know I can get into, and the competitions then will come to me, but ultimately it's about being able to produce the best version of myself.
Yeah. And tell me, what's the plan for the next couple of weeks? Rest and resistance and mum's cooking?
Well, after the race in Italy, it will be.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And Letterkenny Gaels are going well in the championship. Maybe you go back and give them a hand. I think they could do with a few speedy wingers.
I heard that, all right.
Because that's where it all started.
Yeah, but I don't think it will be the best news story if I came away with an injury.
Yeah. Look, thanks again, Mark, and the best of luck and congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, Patsy, here in the Finn Valley Centre, after welcoming home a new European bronze medalist at 800 metres, well, he's Mark English, obviously. Tell us in terms of the scale of what Mark has achieved.
Well, I suppose when you're talking about that medal, and then, you know, you got to talk in terms of his last 2 weeks, you know, and the World Championships, and the fact that he was just a couple of hundredths of a second away from the final of the World Championships. And then he comes on then, and he holds it together, and he comes into the European Championships in Munich, and he hangs in there in a massive positive way to get himself a medal. It's a serious statement, Tom. It's a really serious statement going forward. And it's currently a serious statement, and it kind of gives you wild encouragement with a view to looking forward into the next 2023 and beyond into Paris, you know.
Yeah.
So,
is it all the more remarkable that he won one 8 years ago as well?
Most definitely, you know, just to hang in there, keep a focus. You know, I already won nationals time and time again, but to step up and stay. There's a lot of disappointments along the way, as there is in sport in general. And then he's still there, and he's still on the line, and there's still big indications and hope for him, and he delivers. I think it's a big story.
Yeah, and the remarkable thing about it doesn't end there either. You know, all the in between, he qualified as a doctor.
I think, you know, you couldn't emphasise that enough, you know, and I think there's a serious message for the young generation, you know, here. You know, if you've got the focus and you really want to do it, it's possible.
Yeah.
And it's possible out of Donegal, it's possible out of Ireland, and you know, your academics don't need to be shoved away out to the one side. You can timeline yourself and time manage yourself and get there if you want to do it.
But the world he was competing in, Patsy, I'm not sure if there's many full-time students, full-time medical students. He was, you know, obviously juggling the two, because he was a true amateur.
Yeah.
And he was operating against full-time athletes.
You know what you could say about him in that performance? He's the last of the amateurs. You know, there aren't any... anybody. When I started in this game, Tom, that was the nature of it. Everybody did a bit of work and did this. Nobody in that 800 metres final works. Nobody in that 1500 metres final works. You know, that's the way it is now. Yet he works, and he works in a very demanding junior doctor position.
Which the hours are long, as we all
Lord
know.
Save us, and nobody says, gone you on home now. There's no none of that. So, you know, and the fact that he was travelling from Galway to do sessions in Dublin.
Hmm.
I mean, then get back and work again. That is a big shout out to that, you know.
Yeah. I know and we spoke about this privately before many, many times years ago when Mark English first came on the scene, because he did show great promise as a youngster and as a teenager about him going to America and studying in America and being a full time athlete out there. He's done it in reverse again. Another unique thing about him.
Well, you know, it's very interesting you should bring that up. I had forgotten about that, because my desire for him at the time was that he would go to Villanova.
Yeah.
And I thought when he didn't go to Villanova, he had lost an opportunity.
Mm.
But how wrong was I? I mean, he went a different direction and it worked for him.
He's also won indoor. So he's done it indoor, he's done it outdoor. Last year, he put up PBs outdoors at 800.
He broke the record. You know, that in itself was achievement. You know, that his times were coming down. And as we well know, the excitement of that was done on the last qualifying day for the Olympic Games. And, you know, that was his second Olympics. Should have been his third, as you know, he was harshly treated for the London Olympics and so on. So when it's all said and done, he's going to have a fair CV to look back on.
Yeah. In terms of Donegal athletic achievements, where is it?
Oh, it's number one. He's the best we ever produced. He's way the best we ever produced, you know, because, I mean, he's four European Championship medals. He's been thereabouts at world level, you know, and for a number of years. No, he's the best. There really isn't an argument for anybody else, really.
And as you said, you spotted him earlier. You said you spotted him when he was very, very young. He coming here for coming a month's girl. And obviously you were with him for his first, as the Irish team manager, that first European.
That was really exciting. We were in Zurich that night, and it was very exciting. And then I was able to introduce him to the relay team a couple of days later, and sure, didn't he run the fastest split?
Hmm.
You know, that was the indication that I always knew the speed that he has.
Mm.
And he has begun to use it to a great effect now.
Mm. Tell me, what's the future? What lies ahead?
Oh, well, I used to always say, you know, and I'm sure people wondered about, I used to say, and I know he hasn't been in all the major finals, throughout the years. I always felt that he had the capability to be in every major final, European and Worlds, as became Adam. It didn't happen like that, but he has that capability. So now that this has happened, let's be positive and look forward and hope that he will be in, and for the rest of his career, that he is in all the major finals.
Yeah, and is that include Paris?
That includes Paris. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Worlds and the Olympics are the same, one and the same. So why not?
Patsy McGonigal concluding that package from the homecoming for Mark English, which took place last night at the Fun Valley Centre in Stranorder. Just staying with athletics, this coming Sunday, the Donegal Half Marathon is taking place in Letterkenny. Once again, around 400 is expected to take part in the event. So a big entry for the half marathon, which is now in its ninth year. It gets underway at 9:20 a.m. on Sunday. To tell us all about it today, I was joined in studio by race organiser Brendan Herbie-McDade.
We had a long lead into it. We started planning shortly after last year's event. And as you say now, it's the last number of days. Our online entry is open until 6 p.m. on Friday. It's €30 to enter. We will be taking manual entries on Saturday between 2 and 6 at the Aura Leisure Centre. And that'll be €35 for the late entries on that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the event. First of all, you've changed the course a bit this year, Brendan.
We did. We carried out a little survey after last year's event and just get people's view on the course. And, you know, it came back that they didn't like the hill after the first 2 mile, and they preferred to be, you know, going out the Rock Hill Road and back in the main Glenties Letterkenny Road. So we had a look at the course, and we have a new start now, which is out on the Cornwall stretch. It comes into Letterkenny and does a four mile circuit, avoiding the town centre. And then it goes over the Old Town Bridge and out Rock Hill all the way out to Rasheedock. And then there's a lovely 5 mile run back in from Rasheedock right back into the Aura Leisure Centre.
Yeah. Are you expecting faster times then with the changes made?
We are. And the conditions for Sunday is good. The forecast is good. No rain, no wind, just a nice temperature in the morning. So, yeah, you know, we are expecting people to have quicker times this year.
Yeah, and obviously a huge interest in it. It's part of the Donegal Grand Prix series, but I suppose it's the toughest one on the calendar.
It's the longest one on the calendar, and I suppose like all runners have to prepare. You know, that's what they're training for, so they'll be looking forward now to getting a half marathon under their belt. Because there is quite a few of them actually doing marathons later on in the year. So this will be a good preparation for that for them.
Yeah, would that be the bulk of those competing that are sort of targeting marathons the likes of Dublin towards the end of October, that they see this as a key event then?
They do. A lot of the entries would see from that or right are targeting marathons later on in the year or even early spring next year and just getting their pace right. We also would have a lot of people that have progressed from 10K over the last number of years, have started out couched to 5K and then moved on to 10K and now you're looking to do a half marathon and probably eventually going forward to do a full marathon.
Yeah. It's been a busy year in the Grand Prix series front. It's almost done for the year, Brendan?
It's almost done now. Our last race will be the Donegal 5K Championships, which is in mid-September. But yeah, with quite a number of races over the summer. There was some that did fall by the wayside, never got going again after the 2 years of COVID. But I expect, you know, that they'll be back again next year, and the ones that we have probably benefit, you know, from that because there was more numbers at the lesser races.
Yeah. Obviously with events now, they're trying to add in a little bit extra all the time, and some of these events are trying to be family orientated as well, and you're sort of playing your part in that too, because the children's race is also a part of the half marathon. Tell us more on that, Brendan.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we recognised after their first number of years that we had a lot of supporters with their kids and families hanging about waiting for the athletes to come in. So we come up with the idea to have a sort of like a juvenile kids race to sort of make them feel more part of the event. So we organised a 1K, and it's actually the last K of the 15K of the Danny McDade race. So it starts out on the near the town park and runs right in to Aura in around the back of the building and does a lap of the track the same way as the half marathon. So they'll come onto the finish line the same as the half marathon race does. And kids are delighted to do that and feel more part of it.
Yeah. Just finally then, are you still looking for help, Brendan, in the couple of days out now from the event? Because I do know that the Donegal Volunteer Group was helping you assist in the stewarding of this event.
To do between our own Letterkenny AC members and Donegal Volunteer Centre. Yeah, we're absolutely looking for more people. So they can contact either Letterkenny Athletic Club or the Donegal Volunteer Centre just to help out on the day.
Okay, listen, very best luck with the half marathon this weekend, Brendan.
Thank you very much.
Once again, you can get details off the Donegal half marathon. It's available on their Facebook page. The new rugby season for the North West Club starts this weekend as well, and it's straight into Ulster Championship 3 action for Letterkenny. Last year's Gordon West Cup winners face Lisburn on Saturday at the Dave Gallagher Grounds. Letterkenny head coach Paul O'Kane has been talking to me this week and telling me how the preparations for the season has been going.
Preparation has been not as we'd have wanted it, not ideal. There's been a fair amount of traffic coming and going with the club. We guys retire, or some have emigrated, a couple have left to go to other clubs. So there's been a kind of a bulging in period again. I think off the back of how long last season was, it's taken time to build momentum, get the numbers back out and get fluidity, get a few new faces that have come into the club bedded in. So I'd say we're probably starting to get where we want to be, but this week's going to be a huge challenge with Lisburn coming down to us. Yeah. They're coming down from the league above. I know they've had a decent pre-season. They've had good numbers training, so it's a great challenge for us early doors, and all we can do is embrace that challenge now, Yoshi.
Yeah. So what's the shift in numbers been like then, Paul, from where you were at the end of last season until now? Who were the players you lost, and I suppose who are the players coming in for you?
Well, I suppose we've lost Sean McGill, who's decided to retire, and he'll be coaching with the under-18s. Andrew Gibson, an all really experienced member, has decided to retire as well. We lost David Ward, who emigrated out to Australia through the course of last season. Matthew Faulkner has joined Malahide. He'll be playing his rugby in the Ireland League this year. We wish him well, but obviously a huge loss out of that squad that we had built up. There's a few of the under-18 guys have moved away to Holland or Denmark for work, university, one thing or another. So we have a few longer-term injuries, like Tony McBride, who's still not just 100% yet. Guys like Jack Kennedy, who worked the whole summer in America, and Ben Scott, who's been over in England working. So there's been a bit of a stop-start nature to it. Numbers-wise, we're fine, and we've brought some new blood into the club with Adam Bratton arriving, who's coming into the club. He was the captain of Rainy Old Boys. He's going to be taking a dual player coaching role within the staff, so that's a fantastic addition to the club. Cody Lafferty has signed from City of Derry, who will make a real, hopefully good impression early doors for us. So it's just about been getting that bit of squad consistency, really, Oisin, getting connections built up and getting an understanding of how we want to play the game. There's a few tweaks that we feel that we're necessitated to kind of get the best out of the squad, so that's going to take time to settle. We've had one pre-season hit out. We had the MTF2, but we've had one, so we're to a degree slightly undercooked from where we would like to be, but we've just got to embrace that now and try and navigate our way through the first few weeks, where there's going to be a bit of a stop and start nature to the availability of the squad, with guys that have weddings or one thing or another, work, Garth Brooks concert, everything has been sort of thrown into the mix over the next 2-3 weeks. So it's going to take, I would say, a month before we really get a real solidity around our squad and squad selection. Numbers aren't an issue, but certainly that those connections that we built up last season are going to take a bit of time to bed in again. We have a new captaincy group taking over with Daniel Faulkner, being assisted by Kieran Clark. So there's a bit of young blood starting to come through in the leadership roles of the squad as well. So it's both exciting, and I suppose there's a slight apprehension, I suppose, with maybe the lack of time that we have had together as a group as to how things will go this Saturday. But it'll not be for a lack of endeavour. And say we're just going to have to roll with the punches and hopefully find a few solutions on the pitches, what we've tried to breed the since we came into the club.
Yeah, big game obviously against Lisburn. They're the side that dropped down last year and seen as the favourites in the league this year. But as the weeks go on and when you get your betting in period done, Paul, and when you're happy with where you are, what's the ultimate target for Letterkenny this year? Last year it was promotion. That didn't happen. You did win the cup. Is it a reflection on last year that promotion out of qualifying three is what Letterkenny need to achieve?
I think I've already said this to the guys, that the only thing aspirationally we have to aim for when you finish, I suppose, joint second in the league, whenever you get beaten in the league playoff semi-final and you won the cup, the only thing we didn't actually box tick was promotion. So it's fairly simplistic. The aim this year is to try and retain the Gordon West and try and get promotion. Should that be directly via one in the league or the playoff position and second spot in the league, like that's our aspirations, that's our aims. There's no point in any other aim. So we've got to aim high. We're not trying to heap pressure or overhype the expectation, but that's when you have a season like we did last year, the only realistic build on and add on to that is promotion.
Yeah.
I think for where the club aspirationally want to be, it's their 50th year. Like we've got to aspire as a group to win that league. And if we don't win that league, then we aspire for that playoff position. As I say, the Gordon West Cup, that was obviously the first cup won in, 12, 13 years for the club. We want to try and do our best to retain that cup. There's also the Towns Cup that we have entered this season, which Lisburn actually beat us in last year. So there's an aspiration to try and make it through and navigate our way through into the last eight of that competition, which holds all the best and top junior clubs right the way through the leagues in Ulster, as well as senior seconds team. So it's another great challenge and aspiration that we have as a club. We have our development team up and running from last year, who also won their league section at the end of last year. So again, it's can we push on, get promotion out of our league this year and get a real push on the McCambley Cup for a development team.
Yeah, so how important is it for the likes of the Town Cup to be part of that? Because obviously it's a step up from the Gordon West, so it is for you, Paul. And if this group is going to develop, is that seen as key, playing in a competition like that?
I think it's used to whet the appetite and get the guys an idea of what opposition in the leagues above are. Like traditionally, there's not that many sides from Championship 3 have actually entered the Towns Cup because of the sort of stature of the sides that do enter the competition. So it's a great opportunity for our guys. We initially have a home draw against either Newry or Randallstown. Randallstown are probably expected to come through that preliminary round tie, so that would be an opportunity for us to play a team in Championship 2. For aspirations are to play in that league next season, it's a great ideal to go and see how we fare out against that level of opposition, push ourselves out of our comfort zone like we did in pre-season by playing Dundalk and playing Limavady, teams that are in Championship 1 and 1B in Leinster, and we fared out pretty well. So it's a good opportunity for us to blood ourselves and give ourselves that exposure to what we need to kind of get into our heads that the level will be hopefully next season and seasons beyond. The 5-year plan within the club washing is that we want to try and at least be knocking on the door of Championship 1 within 5 years. So to do that, we need to embrace the challenge of taking on those clubs and that level of rugby much more frequently than would have been done in the past. So it's a real good opportunity for us and a bit of a free hit, essentially. We've put a bit of pressure on ourselves that we want to try and make it into the quarter-final, where we're going to get an opportunity to play one of realistically the top eight sides in Ulster. So that's a great experience for the boys to have early doors in their progress.
Yeah, it certainly is. Listen, there's new formats of several competitions this year. It's going to be helter-skelter, so it is, week on week for you guys, and it's going to put the pressure on the squad as well, Paul. But just away from how things are panning out senior-wise at Letterkenny Rugby Club, there's a fantastic positivity around the club at the moment. We've seen the Girders in recent weeks stepping up to Ulster level. So the club as a whole is certainly moving in a very, very good direction, Paul.
It's massively positive watching, and it's an absolute joy to be part of. The Girls are a section that have realistically got back up and running through Colly Farrell 8-9 months ago. Within the space of that time, they have 3-4 girls within the Ulster underage setup. and there'll be more on the way. There's aspirations that we're going to try and get a senior side up and running over the course of the season. And from a boys and money's perspective, we have, I think, around 7-8 guys within the Ulster development squads. Unheard of, what we're going to have this year is we're going to have two sides at under 14 level, two sides at under 16 level, and a squad of over 30 at under 18 level. So as far as squads and clubs within Ulster go, they're competing and starting to dine at the top table. So that can only have positive effects at senior level over the coming years. And I think the fact that the underage and the guys and the talent that are coming through the club now see Letterkenny as a viable option to actually get to the top end of rugby in Ulster and hopefully Ireland over time. Only good things are going to happen for Letterkenny over the coming seasons, hopefully.
Yeah, and a good thing this weekend would be a very positive start against a highly fancied Lisburn side for your team, Paul.
Listen, the construction of the league this year is going to be attritional, unforgiving. The league will be finished, done and dusted, come February 18th. So if you get off to a good start, it's going to have a real positive impact around how the league outcome. You get off to a negative start and you build pressure and you don't get that momentum early doors, it's going to be very, very difficult in this league. So we don't have our, it's going to be a tough start. We have Lisburn, obviously, are going to be coming down with aspirations to win this league. A good experienced squad. We're backing that up with an away fixture with the PSNI. We're then having Newry at home, who are an other promotion contender. We're backing that up after that with an away fixture to Monaghan, who again are one of the top four sides in that league, and have a new coaching setup and some fantastic talent in their group. And then we have a local derby with Strabane. So as far as starts to the league go, I don't think we could have actually probably picked anything tougher. So that's the challenge that we face in our first 5 weeks. And I think we'll have a very, very clear reading after those first 5 weeks and that five-week block of fixtures as to where the contenders for this league are going to be.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're among that top three, four teams in the league. And the aim is to stay unbeaten. But if we're not unbeaten, then we're making sure that we're picking up points in those games that possibly we don't come out the right side of. So that's what it's all about at the moment. And we've tried to drill into the guys. There's a real focus that we need to deliver performances that will lead to positive results. So that's what the focus is on this week. Like, if we can deliver a positive performance, we're confident that we can do all right. But obviously, Lisburn will have all their ideas in that. And it's going to be a fantastic challenge early doors. And it's going to be a great game of rugby down at the Glebe on Saturday.
Okay, well, listen, Paul, thanks for joining us, and we wish you the very best of luck with Saturday and the rest of the season ahead.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
So Letterkenny starting Saturday against Lisburn in Championship 3. In Championship 1, City of Derry hosting Dromore, and Omagh are on the road in Premiership 2 in Ulster on Saturday as they start things against Rainy Old Boys. It is, of course, another bumper weekend on the Gaelic Games front here in the North West, and in particular in Donegal, where there's matches at senior, intermediate and junior level. There's, of course, a dedicated championship programme here on Highland with Brendan Devaney on a Monday night, the DL Debate. If you missed this week's programme, it's available now in the sports section and the playback sections of our website, highlandradio.com. Senior-wise, this weekend on Saturday, St Unions are playing Clohanilly. Brendan Devaney will be watching that one for us, while Ryan Ferry is at Fintra as Killy Beggs take on Milford. Four Masters are also playing on Saturday afternoon against Bundoran. Our feature match of the weekend is coming from the Bridge at St Michael's against Niamh Connell. And joining me on CoCom for this game on Sunday is a man that knows a lot about the Dr. Maguire, winning it as a player and a manager with St Unions, and that's Brendan Kilcoyne.
Niamh Connell, they're such a championship battle-hardened team, Brendan, so they are, you know, we know what they bring. They're tough, they're resolute, they have everything that you want in a championship football team, and they are getting players back on the pitch. You know, Charlie McGinnis, I think, kicked 1-2 and Ethan O'Donnell with 3 points, kind of thing, were their chief scorers of the weekend, but they can get scores from across the pitch, so they can, and you know, tough test against Killy Beggs, you know. I think Killy Beggs led for a lot of the way, but again, I think the wind was a factor there. And, you know, Niamh Connell will churn out the results. Like, and even if you go back through Niamh Connell results over the last number of years, Brendan, like, you never see them putting up a massive score really on a team. They just do enough on a lot of occasions to win, and they'll be happy enough that they're tipping along nicely. Now, it will be a tough test that again, going down to the bridge to play St. Michael, and St. Michael's team that looked in form last night, put up a big score against Milford, against a struggling Milford, that has to be said. So that'll be an interesting tie the next day. And both teams are on three, so you know, another win will safely see either team safe straight into the quarter final, you would imagine, kind of. So that probably is one of the ties of the round, along with the Glenswilly, Glenfinn game in my book.
That's Brendan Kilcoyne speaking to Brendan Devaney on the DL debate earlier this week, looking ahead to the St. Michael's Neve Connell game, which throws in at 2 o'clock on Sunday. That is our feature match from the Senior Championship this weekend. We'll have full live commentary from that one. Dermot Doherty will then be in Glenswilly against Glenfinn. Martin McHugh is going to watch his home club Kilcar against Ardra. And Brendan Devaney will be back on the road on Sunday as well. He's off to Mahragallan to watch Gweedore against McCools in what is another very busy weekend of championship action here in Donegal. Just running down through the intermediate fixtures, these games on Saturday: Dunloe playing Neve Mora Lower Rosses, Neve Breeder up against Downings, Neve Columba to go on Buncrana, Fannad Gaels play Burt, Mallon are off to Termon, and Red Hughes will play host to Neve Mora. When in the junior championship, Letterkenny Gaels are taking on Pedigo, Neve Columkiller up against Cairn Donagh, Maville meet Narossa, Neve Ulton go to Robert Emmett's, and St Eunan's are heading to Neshon as they take on Uris. Derry-wise, it's hurling championship matches taking place this weekend. They're all on Sunday in Group A: Lavey against Namaha, Slochneil plays Swatra, and in Group B: Ballinascreen meet Kevin Lynch's, and Owen Rua are facing Banagher. And finally, the cricket season is going to come to an end tomorrow, Friday, with the Sammy Jeffrey Shield final. It's taking place at Burndennet. Brigade are up against Coleraine. And that's it from another edition of The Score. Hope you enjoyed the programme. If you missed any of it, you can, of course, nip over to the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. What's left of your Thursday? Have a good one. Have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.